We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. I'm Pastor AJ, and today I'd like to talk about a program I've titled, Jesus, Nothing Else Matters. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul says, "How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent?" One of my biggest pet peeves I've tell a lot of people about is we do a lot of work with small churches in Wyoming. We work with the churches that can't afford a pastor. We work with the churches that have pastors that have no help, have no one to come to their aid when they need to go take a vacation or they need to go away to do ministerial work. And it bothers me so much, and I don't know worldwide how it is. I do know that our pastors in Africa have the same problem. But it bothers me so much that a man of God will dedicate his life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he can't even make a decent living. One of our pastors, and you talk about living by faith, emailed me asking for emergency prayer from Africa because he was having a horrible pain in his right side that went all the way down his side and into his leg and was incapacitating him. He was saying we needed to pray for him, and we immediately went to the prayer chapel and started rebuking Satan and praying for him for a complete healing. But what saddened me the most was he was telling me that he was going to go to the doctor to have it checked up because it was so bad. But he discovered that he didn't have the money in the church's account or his personal account because he had taken the money and he had used it to put down on some property for the church. This man had sold his car so that he could keep the ministry going. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? My friends, I don't know your lives. I don't know whether you're steady tithers and givers to the Lord. That's none of my business. It's yours, and it's between you and God. But I just want to tell you that there's many, many preachers out there that have made a commitment to dedicate their life to Jesus and to preach the gospel and try to bring others to Christ. And if there's a way you can help them, help them. They need it. Even if it's just lifting them up in your prayers. Because they believe what the title of this program says, Jesus, Nothing Else Matters. God has sent them to preach, and they will preach the gospel. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." We sometimes in the church lose sight of why we're here. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the 120, they did not go out and form groups. They did not go out and serve themselves. They went out and preached the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved that day. That's what it's all about. It's not about Sunday morning services. It's not about youth group. It's not about the annual camp meeting. It's not about going to see some great pastor and having him lay his hands on you so you can receive his anointing. It's about Jesus. I cannot stress this enough, my friends. I cannot tell you enough that Jesus is the reason. I hear it time and time and time again during the holidays, during Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. No, if you wear the name of Christ Jesus, Jesus is the reason for everything in your life. And nothing else is the reason. If you have asked the Lord into your heart, if you have said, Lord, come into my heart, I want you, I need you to be with me, then Jesus is the reason for everything. And nothing else matters. And that's where you and I have to get our eternal focus on. I am one of those dynamic people, you can ask my wife, that it doesn't take too much sometime to really get under my skin. I'll momentarily take my eyes off of Jesus, and bam! The other day, a bookkeeper made a mistake, a very large mistake, in the books. And instead of just saying, hallelujah, praise you, Lord God, I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, but you get the glory for this, momentarily, only momentarily, but momentarily, this pastor took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at some numbers. And I'll tell you, that's the stupidest thing you can do, my friend. And I don't mean to insult you. I don't want to cut you down. But don't take your eyes off Jesus. Because the minute, the second you take your eyes off Jesus, Satan has a hole. Satan has a way to zip right in there and get you. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't allow the devil to get his hands on you. Because he'll try to take you down so fast. We live in such a dark world right now. We have to know that Jesus is the only reason. Jesus and nothing else. Matthew 6:33 says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Many pastors preach that that's purely spiritual. That's just spiritual Jesus is talking about. Go back a few verses and read it, my friend. Study that little part in Matthew chapter 6. And what you're going to see is that Jesus was speaking of material things. Jesus was saying that we don't need to worry about those. What we need to worry about is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You notice Jesus didn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. That word in the Greek, all, means everything shall be added unto you. Do you ever wonder why sometimes you seem to be running up against a brick wall? Do you wonder why sometimes it just seems like you can never make ends meet? Do you wonder why sometimes things just don't seem to go right? Well, there are times in our lives that the Lord will test us and try us, just like he did Abraham. I don't know about you, but I praise God. I wasn't counted worthy like Abraham. For 25 years, Abraham was told that he would be the father of a generation that would be more than the sand on the beach, more than the stars in heaven, that his son would be the start of that. For 25 years, Abraham watched himself and Sarah grow older and older and older. Long after Sarah was in the way of childbearing, long after Abraham was old and dried up, God came to him and said, this time next year when I come back, you'll have a son. Sarah was so old, she laughed. Laughed in her heart. How can this be? But Abraham hung in there for 25 years. And then God turned around and tested him and said, now I want you to take the son, the heir I've given you, and go sacrifice him. Can you imagine what must have run through Abraham's heart? What terrible feelings, what he must have gone through? The son he had waited for and promised for 25 years, now he had to sacrifice him to God to give him back. He'd waited 25 years for this son, this promise, and now God wanted him back. Well, God didn't really want him back. If you read the story and you know, God just wanted to know how deep Abraham's faith was. But I watched a movie the other day made in 1966 called The Bible. And there's a few things in it that are a little off. But the part I like is Isaac finally realizes there's no goat. There's no ram. Isaac finally realizes there's a fire, there's an altar, and there's him. And as Abraham is tying Isaac up, binding him up to lay him on the altar to get prepared to kill him, Isaac hugs his dad and says, you must do what you must do. That's how Abraham had raised his son for those few short years. Isaac understood that God had to come first, that God had to be number one. And then God provided the ram. And the way that part ends is it shows Isaac and Abraham just dancing and dancing and dancing and praising God. See, Jesus matters and nothing else in your lives, my friend. Abraham knew that that was the most important thing in his life. No matter what happened, he had to follow God's words. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are your worries today? What are you worried about this morning or this evening? As you got up this morning, did something hit you and you started worrying and getting depressed over it? As you walked out the door going to your jobs, was there something you just had to get done and that consumed you? If that's the case, my friend, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're not seeking first Jesus. You're seeking first how you can fix something. The Lord once showed me how he loves to bless us. But he said that I bless you through your own efforts. You can't just sit on your duff and expect God to take care of things. You must make an effort, but you have to put that effort in his hands. And you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he amazed her because he told her everything about herself. And I always love groups that tell us that if you've been divorced, you can't be a deacon. You can't be an elder in the church. You shouldn't be a man of God or a pastor because you've been divorced. And they don't really care whether your problems happened before you were saved or not. The example we see in John chapter 4, if we want to live by Jesus' words, this woman was at the well and Jesus said he was thirsty. Give him water. And Jesus told her about herself. She'd had 5 husbands and the one she was living with now was not her husband. She was just living with him. And then Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, if you've read this story in John chapter 4, what happened to this woman? This woman became an instant evangelist. She had 5 different husbands, was living with a guy, and She accepted Jesus as the Messiah right then and there, and she went out and became an evangelist. She went back into town and told everyone she could find that this man had told her all about herself and this was the Son of God, and they needed to come up there and meet him, and they had a revival. Jesus didn't see her past. Jesus saw what she could be used for. And he took her from a life of sin to being a revival preacher in that town, and they had a revival. She learned the lesson that Jesus mattered and nothing else. Does Satan like to drag you back into your past? Does Satan like to get to you and say, oh man, look at this. Look what I did. God can never use me because I was this way or I was that way. Or have you ever had a man of God tell you, well, you can't do this in the church or you can't do that in the church because you led a sinful life, or brother, you were this, or brother, you were that, or sister, you were this. Well, you take John chapter 4, and you read the story of the woman to the well at him, and you ask him, okay, then how come this woman became an instant evangelist with her past? Jesus is what matters. But the key here is that Jesus said to the woman, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How do you worship Jesus? Do you worship him in spirit or truth? Or do you worship him how some religion tells you you must? Do you worship him with your heart and soul, and do you love him more than anything else? Or do you go to Sunday morning services, have a half a dozen hymns? Does your preacher give you 3 points in a poem? When you walk out, you feel a little better, but you're no different on Monday morning. That's the question, my friends. The time is coming to an end. The world is slowly but surely grinding down. We watched a special on PBS the other night that shows that the magnetic field of the earth is growing weaker. And scientists believe it's about ready to reverse. And if it does, north will become south, and south will become north. And they really don't know what this will cause, because it hasn't happened within our lifetimes. It hasn't happened in recorded history. The world is groaning. Earthquakes. Storms like never seen before. Floods. Famines. The world is growing tired because we're close to the end. And where will you be? Will Jesus be the center of your universe? Will you be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Will you be worshiping in truth and in spirit? Or will you be sitting in a building singing a hymn that really has no meaning to you, listening to a sermon that doesn't really touch you, and going back out into the world and not making a difference? It's up to you. In chapter 9 of John, we're told of the story where Jesus heals a blind man. And Jesus heals that blind man. And then he tells him what to do. Go to the pool of Siloam. Wash your eyes. And so everybody knows he was a beggar, knows he was blind, and the Jews bring him in and start questioning him. And he says, I don't know this man. He healed me. They bring in his parents, and his parents are so afraid, the parents say, whoa, he's old enough, you ask him, we don't know. Before it's over, said and done, the synagogue cast him out of the synagogue, the Jews, because he is telling them, that how can they say this is not of God? Have they seen eyes made whole? Have they seen people be purged like this? And we come into the story in John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who you are talking to. And then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped Jesus. Do you get this? He didn't go back to the synagogue and try to preach to them. He went down to the basics. He ran back into the man that had healed him. And see, he didn't really for sure know who had healed him, because he'd only heard the voice. Jesus had made some clay and pasted it on his eyes and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and be cleansed. So he never saw Jesus until afterwards. And Jesus went and found him. And he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered, Who is he, Lord, that I can believe in him? Because he knew the voice. And Jesus said, You have both seen him, and it is he who you are talking to. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He didn't worship the disciples. He didn't worship anyone but Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We can no longer afford to be tied up in our own thoughts. We can no longer afford to be tied up with our religious beliefs. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That is the reason. John 3:36, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but has the wrath. But the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Where are we? Who do we trust? Who matters most in our lives? Ourselves or Jesus? Do you try to reflect him every day that you walk on this earth? Do you try to show that beggar Jesus? Do you try to show that hungry person Jesus? Do you clothe your neighbor when he's out of clothes? How do you live, my friend? We are told that by John, in 1 John 4:1, he says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they're of God. Because there will be many false prophets that have gone into the world. By this you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. My friends, if you attend a church and that church doesn't preach Jesus, get out. Take your hat and run. If you're in a Bible study and that Bible study doesn't teach and preach Jesus, run. We are in the end times with many false prophets, many false teachers that make you center yourself on their teachings or make you center yourself on them. The only thing that should be taught in a Bible study or a church is Jesus and how to live and love Jesus. If you're in anything right now that doesn't glorify God and His Son and the Holy Spirit, get out. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, God is not interested in how many members a church has. God is not interested in how many people you and I on a daily basis tell about Jesus. God is interested in how many people give Him glory and how many people worship truly His Son in spirit and in truth. Because only by worshiping His Son are you going to have people come to the Lord. The Bible tells us very plain and clear, we don't do it. The Holy Spirit draws them to the Father. And I have seen this time after time after time again in witnessing, in preaching, in teaching. We can have the most eloquent, most beautiful words in the world, and we can inspire, and we can get people on fire. But if the Holy Spirit is not involved when they walk out the door, when they go back to their lives, they will not change. They will be just the same as they were. The Holy Spirit has to be drawing them. You have to be praying to the Lord of the harvest, Lord, give us workers, bring us souls. But if we're not willing to take the time and make the effort, it doesn't matter how good a speech that I preach, those people will not change. There is nothing in Pastor Warner that can make a difference in this world if I don't have Jesus. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, my words will always, always fall on deaf ears. My words will be hollow and empty and worthless. But if they are the words of God, if they are the words of the Spirit of God, they will penetrate to the heart of someone. Jesus, nothing else matters, my friend. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You notice he didn't say, "Go, therefore, and make members of a church body. Go, therefore, and increase your numbers. Go, therefore, and teach them the rules and regulations that your religious group has taught you." No. He said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." The word disciple means to be a follower, a student. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." That I, that's Christ Jesus. So he says to you, "Go, therefore, and make students of my words, not man's." My friend, that's where it's at. That's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus. It doesn't matter what church you walk into on Sunday morning. If that church isn't preaching Jesus, isn't teaching Jesus, isn't making disciples, and teaching them the things Jesus commanded, you're in the wrong place, my friend. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, Jesus gives us a promise there. He gives a command, and he gives a promise. He says, if you go out there and do what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to be with you always. He says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." My friend, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him who they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? If your preacher is not preaching Jesus, take your hat and run. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. We must go out teaching people to observe what he commanded, not what man commands. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the reason for all seasons.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.